Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Get ready for a double load of Queen of Hearts. It's me, Jujubee, and I return to guide sexy singles through some raunchy blind dates. Cameras off, voice only. Launching during Pride, Queen of Hearts takes Miami by storm with daters Cuppy from Tampa Bay's Just Chaz and Brittany Brave, to name a few. Follow Queen of Hearts on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Raising kids can be one of the greatest rewards of a parent's life. But come on, some days parenting is unbearable.
I love my kid, but is a new parenting podcast from Wondery that shares a refreshingly honest and insightful take on parenting. Hosted by myself, Megan Gailey, Chris Garcia, and Kurt Braunohler, we will be your resident not-so-expert experts. Each week, we'll share a parenting story that'll have you laughing, nodding, and thinking, oh yeah, I have absolutely been there.
We'll talk about what went right and wrong. What would we do differently? And the next time you step on yet another stray Lego in the middle of the night, you'll feel less alone.
So if you'd like to laugh with us as we talk about the hardest job in the world, listen to I Love My Kid, But wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today on a reunion sofa is Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you. We're here today to talk some Summer House reunion, which thankfully was only two episodes long. The reunion is over. And I really loved that it was two episodes. I thought it was a really strong two episode set. Did not waste too much time with the uninteresting people. Just took care of what needed to be taken care of. And now we can all move on with our lives.
Yeah, it was nice, right? Wasn't it like old school Bravo? Remember when there were only two and then there were three? And then they tried that shit where they were going to do four because of that really good Atlanta season. Wasn't it Atlanta where they were like, we're going to have four reunions now? And the audience said, no, no, you're not. And then they went back to three. Wow. Good times, guys. Good times.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of good times, we're going to San Diego on Friday. We have a show in San Diego. We're recapping the season premiere of Real Housewives of Orange County Friday night in San Diego. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get your tickets. And then next week, we are going to St. Paul, Minnesota. We're going to Chicago and we're going to Columbus, Ohio. We're doing three shows in a row, back to back to back. It's be crazy. Midwest tour. And then the week after that, we go to Boston and then we wrap things up in Foxwoods. And by the way, thanks to CT Insider for a really cool profile they did on us that came out today. So thanks so much. Thanks so much, Leanne Griffin, the writer. So,
well, Leanne.
Yeah.
A little rascal
writer. Anyway, so we're really excited for all those shows. And then we're done. We're done for the year. So please come see us. WatchWhatCrappens.com to get your tickets. And also, don't forget, go to Patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens. And if you support on the Crappens On Demand level, you get access to our videos a week before they go live on YouTube. So check that out there. You also get access to our weekly bonus episode, as well as actually everyone gets access to the Discord server now. So that's great. Discord is wonderful. So everyone should play around in there too. So that's all the good stuff. How you doing today, Ronnie?
Okay, well, welcome back to this reunion for Summer Housen. Really, next time they should consider getting a pull-out sofa for Paige's side of the room because Jesus Christ. I mean, are they even there? All they do is roll their eyes, fume. Paige just fumes. Smoke comes out of her nose. And then they're all like leaning on the couch. They're like, no one's just like sitting up. They're just all like leaning. Like, do you guys need fucking pillows to like, they need those pillows with the arms on them, you know, that they used to have back in the 90s, or you just like
husbands.
You put it in your bed.
Husband pillows.
Yeah. Keep them upright somehow. My God, strap them in over there. Jesus Christ.
They didn't know what to do without sisters. Like having cell phones to text on or like little laptops to watch Love Island or Minions on. So they just were all kind of like flopping around on each other, holding each other up for support, you know?
This is the longest in the season that those three have been out of bed at one time. I can't even believe they got them to do the reunion. That's why it was only two. They were going to do three reunions, but that side of the couch all fell asleep on each other.
Yeah, they were definitely struggling. So anyway, speaking of which though, but the episode opens with Paige right in the middle of a fight with Lindsay. I totally forgotten because I wasn't paying attention on the previous leaves and I just pressed play right as it started and it's literally Paige going, girl, I don't even speak to you. I was like, whoa, oh my goodness, I forgot. I've got to rewind and see what they're fighting about.
So yeah, it was basically like, you know, were you surprised with Lindsay's reactions and with everybody's reactions to being a couple, Lindsay? And Lindsay was saying, no, because it's a couple, you're the target. And, then the fight with Paige, and Paige saying, Lindsay saying, you don't even say anything to my face. You say everything behind my back. It's the weakest form of fighting. And Paige being like, girl, I don't even speak about you. Okay. And she goes, no, you speak about me behind my back. And it's the most pathetic fighting I've ever seen.
You're nuts. You're literally nuts and not even the cool, like, delicious kind you get from SponCon. You're just like crazy, gross nuts you find in a gutter.
And Carl's like, oh, nuts? Really nice, Paige. Really nice. You're going to call somebody nuts? Like, that's crazy. Like, you're shaming somebody's nuttyhood? Like, that is really low, Paige. That is really low. People are allergic to nuts.
That's okay, Paige. That's like so crazy that you'd shame people by saying they're nuts. That's absolutely crazy. Let me emphasize that again. That's crazy.
And she's like, yeah, and you're nuts too. I was like, what's next? They're real humdingers? Like, come on. Especially because we're covering Jersey's reunion at the same time. But they're like, fuck you, whore. Fuck you. Die in your sleep, you goddamn whore. Fucking stutter. I wish I had a match. I'd start you on fire with some gasoline. And then we come to this and they're like, you're like literally nuts. Wow.
You're nuts.
Whoa, I can't. That's just like below the belt right there.
So
I've got three below the belt. Speaking of, no pun intended. Okay. And Lindsay's like, I'd rather be nuts than boring. Is Paige wearing that flower on her neck to keep her from falling asleep? Because it's like, oh my God, I'm falling. Oh my God, I can't fight with it. Ow! Jesus Christ, I just hurt myself on my cactus. Okay, I'm back. Yeah. What are we talking about? Still Lindsay?
And then there's like a pregnant pause, and then all of a sudden you just hear Paige say really quietly, bitch. So Amanda, did we ever learn why Amanda has no voice this reunion? Because she's like, hi Andy, can I talk? So Andy's like, Amanda, did you ever have a problem with Lindsay and girl dating? And she's like, I never had an issue with them dating. I want all the best for them. And then they're going to figure out their own journey, whether it works or not. And Andy's like, okay, yeah, right. That was okay. Kind of boring. All right, it's going to be a two-parter. Yeah.
Thanks for more of your fakery, Amanda. You're adding a ton. So then Andy's like, all right, let's move in. Just kidding, Danielle. Don't be triggered. I meant let's move on. So you guys have solidified a wedding venue. Let's tell everyone but Danielle when and where. Okay, Danielle, cover your ears and your eyes. Okay.
This is in addictive. Mexico. This is really Mexico. Addictive. It looks great, by the way. It's a great venue. It's a great place.
And he says, November?
And Carl's like, yeah, destination wedding. And as you can tell by the, you know, by it being in November, like if Bravo wants to do some sort of spinoff, like Fall Casita, like we're down for it.
I'm looking for this post I saw about Danielle saying that she hadn't been, she kind of, once Carl and Lindsay started dating, that Danielle was the one who pulled back from the relationship, but she called Lindsay before the summer house to make sure they were still on good terms. I just thought that was interesting. Has nothing to do with this particular scene. I just remembered it and knew I'd forget it if I didn't look it up. So then I looked at my phone, tried to look it up, and I still couldn't find it.
Oh, no.
There. Congratulations. You're welcome. I just wasted two of your minutes. Okay.
So yeah, I was in Mexico. Ooh. So I hope today would be a chance that we like got rid of some deep-rooted anger. And by the way, in case Loverboy doesn't work out, I am still selling dental equipment. So if you have a deep-rooted canal issue, I could totally take care of it. Give me a call. But I was hoping that today could be like a root canal for our relationship. But you know what? We're going to have to see about those invites, Andy. Those evites. All right. Yeah. We're gonna have to see about the email addresses we put on that evite.
Yeah, it's be like a really exclusive event. Like,
yeah, only like people who support us.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is, like, Robert from the Kia dealership, yes, he gets an invitation. Robert from Danielle's former relationship, he's a maybe. Danielle, probably not. Sorry.
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking to see if Evi has a filter that we can filter out people that don't support our relationship. So we're going to see about those Evites.
Yeah.
I love when people use their wedding invitations as a threat to everybody else.
I know. Exclusive.
I've said it a million times, but you're asking me to spend like $1,000 on you. A gift, a flight, a hotel room, and then days of my time. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. Acting like you're doing me a favor to go to your white pants wedding.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Exactly.
Well, over the past six summers, we watched Kyle and Carl build an unbreakable bond, but the summer work conflicts and personal strains had us wondering if this house share could be their last. Okay, guys, who's ready for some man tears?
The vibe is he's on the verge of quitting. That's the vibe I'm getting. And then Carl being like, oh, I'm not valued. And then Kyle saying, yeah, Lindsay is in his ear saying he's invaluable. And then Kyle yelling, careful, you're a master manipulator, Lindsay. Good luck to my best friend because you are a psycho.
So then Andy's like, wow, I can't believe I'm about to ask this question to Kyle and Carl. What's the status of your relationship? Or as we say on Grindr, sup? Sup?
Well, like, clearly there's like been a change in the friendship. Like, let's be honest, it's complicated when you work with friends or when you like are employed by friends but actually don't do work for them. It's hard when you're changing your lifestyle and like adjusting things and trying to figure out, like, are you a Kia Sorento guy or a Kia Telluride guy? Like, what is it gonna be? Like, it just came to a head, you know, while I was getting head from Lindsay too, which was convenient. But like, I took a lot of responsibility because like I didn't open up to Kyle as much as I should be coming into last summer, and by didn't open up to Kyle very much, I literally didn't, you know, go to work. So like, you know, he's given me a lot of opportunity in life.
I didn't open up to Kyle, just like I didn't open up the door to Loverboy and walk inside to do my job there. But just like I
didn't open up my work emails. Hell yeah. So,
hold on, Andy, hold on. He means a lot to me. He means a lot.
Kyle does the crying where he puts his fingers under his eyes and then he pulls up. He's like, oh
my God, I'm hanging my eyelids right now, honey. You're going to be hung. You're going to be getting to the town square in the Western. You're about to be hung, eyelids. Oh, just kidding. You're okay. We're not going to hang you after all. Just don't rob a store anymore, eyelids. Okay, stop
robbing
stores.
The new flavor of Lover Boy is going to be Kyle's tears. So Andy's like, he's like, Kyle, is that a fair assessment of where you guys are today? And Kyle's like, well, I knew the work stuff was getting challenging, and like his role was already shifting into events and market driven as opposed to VP of sales. And like, it was difficult because he thought VP of sales meant that he literally was going to go sailing every day. But it's just more like, you know, I was doing my best to give him like insane leeway, and I just was trying to figure out what to do. And like last year, I kind of felt taken advantage of.
Well, why immediately blame Lindsay's influence for his work progress?
And Sierra just looks to Paige and they give each other evil smiles. They're like, what are you two even doing over there? You don't say anything. You just sit there and give each other dirty looks about everything. Say, do something. Okay, you're out of bed. Make the best of it.
Hmm.
So get a curry on set. I mean, at least do that. You know how they don't even make
get a curry on set?
The Keurig.
Oh. It's like, I thought you meant they should like make some curry. You're out of
bed. No.
It's like,
are you kidding? They won't even make their Keurig. We already learned that from Andrea. They were so shocked to see coffee. They're like, oh my God, coffee. Someone paid me a cup. That's insane.
Was this up someone's butt in Dallas? So Carl's like, well, I can see how you would think that like Lindsay was in my ear.
And tell him that like I wasn't in his ear.
She was not in my ear.
Not in your ear at all.
Not at all. Like, so I can see how it sounds like that. And Kyle's like, yeah, but it got worse. And he goes, well, you know, like I come home and I vent and she like hears these things. Cause I come home and I'm like, babe. And she's like, babe. And I'm like, babe. And she's like, babe. And I'm like, babe. And she's like, babe. So, you know, like I vent.
Yeah, you know, she sees things, but I make my, sorry, I was kind of slipping into Kyle there. I make my own decisions, so please don't make it about
her. Don't make it about her.
Her, Lindsay. Don't make it about her, Lindsay.
Well, she also complained about your salary.
Really? I have a flower on my neck, so. I dare anybody to try and climb over the fence of my shoulder to get to the yard that is my head, because I've got a fence made out of a flower and you're all going to die. So try. So Amanda's like, well, when I was at work complaining, like, I just want to say, like, you know, Kyle's giving me advice to support my needs. And, like, you know, you don't know what the other employees or bosses are dealing with. And I just, like, tried to explain to Kyle that, like, you have to vent to Lindsay because, like, that's your relationship, Kyle. And then, like, Lindsay's giving advice based on what Carl is saying to Kyle. Andy, Kyle, Andy, avocados, guacamole. And Lindsay's like, that's right. And guess what my advice was? I was like, you need to talk to Kyle and you need to threaten to start making a sport of tossing him in bars because he's a very short person and you deserve more money or I will kill his
Lindsay.
Yeah.
She's like, I said not to blindside your best friend. That's all I ever did. I stood up for Kyle. I said, if you're going to quit, then you have a discussion with Kyle. No man of mine will just quit a job.
And also ask for $30,000 more.
So Kyle is like, it's like, yeah, I can appreciate that. I can relate to it. And so Amanda's like, so Kyle, do you want to apologize to Lindsay? And he's like, I apologize for pinning that on you. And Amanda's like, so Lindsay was like not in his ear. She's like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the great exoneration. Thank you very much for this. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, okay? Because again, it was me trying to simplify a complicated issue. You know, it's like when I pull out a screw gun to put together IKEA furniture. It's just, you're not supposed to do it. It never stays up, okay? I don't have one bookshelf that's still together. I was like, okay, now I can see it's not just Lindsay. It's not just Lindsay. He looks around confused.
I love that this whole thing is about yelling that Carl is programmed by Lindsay, and meanwhile, Amanda is literally in Kyle's ear in front of all of our faces telling him exactly what to say. And Kyle's just like wide-eyed going, okay, whatever Amanda said, that works for me.
Yeah, Lindsay's in her ear, God forbid, in his ear. Like, who could ever allow such a thing to happen? So then Andy moves on to the whole thing about Kyle venting in the Hamptons about Carl. And Andy's like, what was it like when you heard Kyle air all your dirty laundry when you couldn't defend yourself? And Carl's like, well, I didn't really have a lot of words. And then I showed up coked up and I forgot my laptop. And like, and I'm out of my mouth. I wish I had the opportunity to say that, but I'm incredibly ashamed and embarrassed. And he goes on, and now it gets like actually quite serious because he starts talking about addiction and he starts to cry and he starts talking about like, he was just, you know, he was uncomfortable with his addiction being brought up so publicly in that way. And then he relates to how, like, you know, he ultimately winds up talking about how, you know, in season one, he was really drunk and wasted. Every time he did an interview, he was drunk. And he talked about his brother's addiction issues on camera without his brother's consent. And then his brother tuned in to watch and, like, just heard him airing it all out. And it caused a big rift where they actually stopped talking and they never ever talked again because of that. And so I was like, oh my God. I was like, that was way heavier
than
I was
expecting. So sad.
That was,
yeah, I actually
so
started
sad.
Crying in that part because that was really bad. Where Carl's like, yeah, you know, my brother was so excited to watch TV and see me on TV. And then what does he see? Me railing into his drug addiction. And then, you know, then he died. It's like, you know, that was so sad.
And they're all, by the way, they're all crying. They're all crying. And at one point, Lindsay takes a tissue and she hands it to Andy to give to Amanda. And then Andy gives it to Kyle to give to Amanda. And Kyle just starts taking it, wiping his own eyes. And they're like, Kyle, you have a wife, in case you forgot.
So Kyle apologizes. You know, he's like, I've never been more ashamed. I mean, you don't really need a reminder about how fucked up you were. I mean, my God, I remember you just trying to remember how to write things down because you didn't have your computer. I remember trying to snort things out of your Bic pen that day. It was really rough. You don't need to be reminded. You know what I mean?
I think the funny thing about that from Kyle is that Kyle is fucked up literally every second of this show. And I know his big thing is like, but I'm not fucked up at work.
But your job is traveling around the country getting fucked up with fans in bars. So you kind of are drunk all the time at work. Yeah. And I just think it's weird that nobody calls Kyle out on his utter hypocrisy. Like, it's like you're only allowed to talk about someone's alcoholism, I guess, once they make an issue out of it and say it. It's like once I say I have a drug addiction, we can all talk about it. But right. Until then, it's completely off limits. And I think that's where Kyle was really out of bounds. Like, you're the one who really looks like you have a problem here. And you're ripping into somebody on national TV who's actually trying to help himself. So I know you apologized, but here, I just wanted to bring you an order of shame. So here's some shame for you. Enjoy that. Here's some shame skins with some bacon bits and cheese on top. Yeah. Okay, enjoy those.
Here's the new shame edition of Loverboy for 2023. So, yeah. So he was just, everyone's just like sad. It's just sad and it's serious. So then they go to break and everyone just scatters from the sofas. Everyone's like, this is too serious. We got to go. I want to go to any place other than the sofa right now.
Yeah, and so basically he asks, like, how did it feel watching Danielle defend you so hard? Because, you know, watching this season, it is hard to remember that Danielle and Lindsay and Carl were getting along fine until, like, Lindsay didn't even know really anything was going on until towards the end of the season with this. Mm-hmm. So she stood up for him, and Carl's like, oh, that was amazing. And like, I even had to text her and be like, Danielle, like, I appreciate that, Danielle. Hey, Danielle, do you remember getting that text? And Lindsay's like, me too. I texted her too. And Danielle's like, yeah. And then I texted back, I would do it in a heartbeat. And Carl's like, I was just venting. I mean, that's, you know. And so then let's see. Let's move past all this because it's really sad. So they go on break, and Kyle asks for more AC, and Andy's like, wow, look at this. Paige clocked in, am I right? I mean, Paige doesn't speak much, but when she does, whoa, it's impactful. Paige, are you awake? Yeah, actually, can I get a Band-Aid for my neck? It's bleeding because I started nodding off. I'm going to need some medical attention over here.
That I unfortunately have attracted several bees to my neck, and it's proving to be a slight problem for me. So if anyone has an EpiPen, that would be great. Hold on. I'm about to gag from allergies.
Andy, I don't want to criticize the job you're doing, but I'm extremely bored. I'm going to go ahead and change my outfit. I went on Amazon and I bought some barbed wire for my neck collar. So I'm just going to go make that fashionable really quick.
Okay, yeah, I'm just going to make it hot. Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now Corey shows up backstage and he like walks. He sees his name on a dressing room door. He's like laughing with his big open mouth. And Sam comes
He's
in.
He's got a fade. I can't with Corey in his fade. I can't with Corey. Literally, I hate everything about this person. Okay. I'm just surprised he didn't come in covered in a little yellow paint from painting smiley faces on something and calling himself an artist. That's all we're really missing from this reunion from Corey.
Seriously. So then Sam comes in. She's got her dress is like that pink frilly dress, and she goes, this dress is made for movement, and specifically the sort of movement you make when you're fucking in Montauk. Am I right? What? Did I just say that? Huh? Is that me? Crazy.
And Corey's like, I didn't know there was something even under that dress. And she goes, oh my God. He thought I was going to like just sit on the tassels without wearing underwear. Like they would be in my vagina right now, like you are every day, twice a day sometimes, three times. Love it. Yeah.
And then Chris comes in and like bro hugs Corey, and he's like, oh my God, it's like it's so up and down. It'll be like really happy and it'll be really sad. It'll be really happy. It's like crazy, man. It's Chris. I'm like, shut up, Chris. We all know how reunions go. So then now Carl and Lindsay are backstage, and Lindsay's like, are you feeling uncomfortable right now? And he's like, well, I would love to go back to the Hamptons this summer and have like a fun summer before we get married, because like, how do we have a wedding special if we're not on the show? So we sort of have to like save our jobs a little bit. So yeah, let's just like move past this shit and just like pretend we like people, okay?
And she's like, I'm gonna ignore the parking because it's immature and it's ridiculous and it doesn't even matter. And what matters the most are the relationships I've had for years. You, me, Kyle, Amanda, Danielle. I was like, you hate all those people and they hate you too. I mean, unfortunately, you're correct that you are the only cast that kind of like does anything on this show, as this reunion proves. I mean, Paige did a little stuff from the side, you know, a little rolling of the eyes and stuff. But they hate you now. And it's all pretty out in the open. So, yeah.
Good luck. And it also just goes to show how few people she's become friends with over 7 years. Luke, I think, is the only addition. So Amanda is then being like, when are we ever going to be able to move on, Kyle, as like a group with all this stuff with Lindsay? When can we move on? And Kyle's like, well, my strategy over the years has just been to like fall on the sword, being the gentleman that I am, just falling on a sword and forgive and forget. I'm like, oh, yes, Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
What a martyr.
Like Kyle the martyr. And I was like, your strategy's not working, Kyle. And she's like rolling her eyes, leaning on her side of the couch. Maya, don't bother. What are you even doing here? You've done nothing, okay? Go back to bed. So then Kyle falling on the sword, and he's like, you know, it's going to be before you know it, you're going to be married. So just get it off your chest now or whatever. So now they get back to the set, and Corey has brought, of course, a bottle of booze on set. So one of the PRP or one of the producers is like, what are you trying to get me in trouble? You better give me that bottle, mister. And they're like, it's hilarious. Corey owns a gym, but he also likes to drink on the set. Hey. Corey's like, hey, anybody here an actual natural-born woman? Anyone want to talk about that? Fucking transphobe piece of shit, this guy. I can't even believe everybody's just going to ignore Corey's bullshit
ignoring
on the show.
Just, like,
everyone's just like, oh my God, Corey's so fun. I hope he's a regular next year.
Like, how are people, like, I'm surprised this has not become, like, a thing. Like, there's literal transphobic memes out there that Corey has just liked.
Corey doesn't care. There's a reason that he's dating someone who's got Tammy Lauren vibes, whatever her name is. Is that her name? Tommy?
Tommy Lauren meets Amy Adams. Only physically. Amy Adams is not a trans.
Amy Adams playing.
Amy Adams playing the Tommy Lauren story. It's just an anti-hero I was really desperate to get inside of. So,
like, he's desperate to get inside of me. Sorry, I just fell into character there.
It was so good, though. It was so good because I felt it. So Andy's like, welcome back to the Summer House Reunion. This summer, we watched Sam work through her roster until her dream guy walked through the door, which never happened. So here's Corey. So, by the way, I was very upset that Andy did not ask Sam, what was it? Was it sort of weird that the guy that you were sort of going to be hooking up with then moved on from you to Madonna? Like, I feel like that was a very pressing question for me.
Maybe just I don't know. I don't really care. Is that weird? I think it's because it's like a personal trainer. Like,
well, I think it would have just been interesting.
I don't think I was invested in Jerez. Even though I remember his name.
Jerez was the guy that Chris brought. The other guy, the trainer guy was, I don't even know his name. But he looked actually sort of like Chris, which is what's weird. Anyway, I'm just sharing with you my experience of watching the show, which is that I would have liked a question about that Madonna situation because I thought that was very funny.
I wouldn't be against it. Sorry, I don't mean to be mean
about
it.
I didn't feel like you were against the show. What I realized was that the questions I want asked at a reunion are maybe not universally desired amongst other people who watch the show. And that's okay.
I don't know, but it's Pride Month, and I feel like I should have been more excited about your question about Madonna's, who Madonna's fucking, because that's what we're supposed to care about. It's Pride Month.
I think I'm actually a little surprised that Sam did not bring that up as a way to elevate her status in this group.
Me too. Yeah, I was surprised too. So Andy asked Corey, he's like, no one from Care says, Corey, you were worried about doing long distance with Jess. So why can you do long distance with Sam, but you can't do long distance from Jess? Well, Sam is a regular on a show. Jess wasn't, first of all. He can use Sam a little bit better than he can use Jess. Yeah. But Corey's answer is, because I actually like Sam.
Don't make me take up for Jess. That was such an obnoxious response. Like, if you don't like Jess, then you were the one who was having sex with her and making out with her for 2 weeks on our televisions. And now you're going to act like you never liked her. Okay, then don't waste all of our times, please. Thank you. Especially hers. Even though she's crazy. Nuts. So then Andy's like, Corey, it was strange watching the show back and seeing that Sierra was also interested in you. Would that have changed you moving in on Sam? Like, how is Corey going to answer that question? Like, oh, yeah, if I'd realized that, I totally would have boned Sierra. Sorry, Sam. What's he supposed to say to that?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. So he's like, well, Sierra and I have a very flirty relationship. I didn't like read into it like she was flirting more, but like it's flattering that like someone wants to make out with me, I guess. But it wouldn't have changed anything. I mean, look at Sam. I mean, God damn it, could she be on Fox News? God damn it. And Andy's like, so Sam, you described Corey as someone who stopped texting you the second you catch feelings. When did you know that that was incorrect? And then she tells this story that she told in an interview. We talked about it when I saw the interview because it's just, she tells it in the exact same way. It's like this girl showed up prepared to be on the TV and make this love story.
Yeah.
And make this her bachelor moment. She's like, well, at first he was like, I took so many photos of the summer and I was like, show me these photos. But then like he needed an excuse to talk to me every day. So he would just like send me one picture every day. And to this day, I still get a picture. Roll the footage. This is like Princess Di shit, everybody. Roll the footage, okay? So they do. And it's just pictures of them licking each other's tongues and stuff.
Like, you narcissistic fucks, okay? In theory, that's sort of a romantic thing. Like, no, I'm going to give you a photo every single day. Okay, it's been 274 days since Labor Day as of today. That means this reunion was shot, like, maybe 30 days. You guys have taken 240 photos of yourselves over the span of, like, a few weekends. You guys are crazy. Now, I guess maybe they may counter and say, no, it's only the days that we're apart. Still, that's ridiculous. You should not have that many photos of yourselves together from the amount of time you spent together in Summer House. Case dismissed. And the case, of course, is you're not narcissist. And that is dismissed. You are a narcissist.
You're a narcissist. Also, the whole, like, every picture they're licking each other's tongue. I mean, just the physical act that takes to hold the camera, lick each other's tongue and make sure you both get in the shot. It's like the least romantic shit that I've ever heard of. You know, you guys, this is almost, these selfies are almost as sad as the selfie that Lindsay took in the hospital with Carl, where she took a picture of herself sleeping next to Carl.
Right. Okay. She sleptwalked. She was like, she did it all in her sleep. But you know, the thing is, that's also funny is that, like, I can imagine them running up a toll of photos. If every time they take a photo, they take like 5 or 10, like, let's see which one's the best. Let's see which one's the best. But then it's like, they kept all the takes and he's just still sending different takes every day. Like that's what I'm imagining is also happening, which in that theoretical situation, which I feel like has a 90% chance of accuracy, is also crazy. That you're just still sending every single different take. Like, oh my God, today he sent me the photo again of us like at the club, but this time my tongue was like a little bit more to the right and it was just like so hot.
Mm-hmm. So moving on, Paige and Craig have been going strong since last summer, but when he brought up next steps, she went into tears. So Craig wanted 6 months. You started crying, Paige. What's up with that? He wanted to 6 months to get engaged or whatever. And she's like, well, I don't know how long this show is going to be. I'm not dating Craig past this show. I don't know if I really belong on Southern Charm. So, you know, I'm just wondering about his usefulness as a prop, Andy, because let's face it, I'm way too good for him. That's what she was saying in my head.
Yes.
Because in real life, I can't make sense of what she's actually saying, which is like she really cares and she's scared of getting older. And, she's really serious about Craig. I think that I was so traumatized by that news that I just made up my own stuff to make Paige seem as smart as I think she is in my head.
Well, people don't talk about how scary it really is getting older and growing up. Do you realize that, like, someday I'm going to have to shop for Craig at a Van Heusen? That's scary. That's very scary for me. Have you ever walked into a Tommy Bahama? Terrifying.
Being a plane ride away from my family is very scary, Andy. And he's like, well, can you see how your reaction might have made him nervous?
And she's like, absolutely, Andy. And he's like, I mean, your mom's is, let's ask a question. Mom's lasagna from Is Better Than Craig's Lame Pillows says, why is the only path forward, Paige, moving to Charleston, which is clearly giving her anxiety? Why can't he move to New York City? She's like, I think that I know him so well. He wouldn't do well in New York, mostly because he's an idiot. Have you met Craig? Craig,
have you ever seen him
get robbed every 5 minutes?
Have you ever seen him trying to walk through a turnstile? Do you know how many times he's doubled himself over just not realizing you have to scan first? The poor guy. He doesn't understand it.
He tries to ride it like it's a bull in Saddle Ranch, Andy. It's embarrassing.
He thinks Central Park is a farm because there are horse-drawn carriages there.
He threw a fishing line into the subway track, Andy. He's literally an idiot.
Okay. He thought the Statue of Liberty was Patricia Altschul and asked it when he could come over for dinner.
He walked over to the Statue of Liberty and offered it a stick of deodorant, Andy. Okay, he's not welcome here.
He calls it Thou Schwartz.
He says he wants to go get some pho. And I said, what? And he's like, you know, from Pho Schwartz. That place where Tom Hanks danced on the piano with Big.
He said he couldn't make his way to the Today Show studios because he was looking for a pile of 30 rocks.
The first time he came here, he was arrested because he wouldn't leave the Al Roker window of the Today Show, Andy. It was humiliating. He was literally plastered up against the window.
He thinks George Washington actually built the bridge.
All right. So we go to Paige, just basically like, love him, but let's face it, Craig's not built for New York. And so Andy's like, well, something's got to give. A romantic movie with old people that have way more chemistry than you and that weathered Tammy Lauren loving cokehead could ever dream of having. Wow. All right, well, I said my piece. Anybody else? Paige is like, was that a question, Andy? Because it shocked me so much, I literally cut my cheek on my flower. And he's like, okay. Well, as Paige should be, I'm moving on. Okay. Last summer, we watched Maya and Oliver's Meet Cute, but this summer, something seemed off. Paige turns immediately miserable again because it's not about her. Paige just went from her romantic movie, her rom-com starring Paige. She's like, oh my God, Craig in the City. Andy, look at me, smiling. And he's like, and Maya. And she's like,
well, Maya and Oliver had a meet boring, and then they had a breakup boring. Let's find out what happened, okay? So, what happened with Oliver? When did it change? And Maya's like, well, you know, when you know, you know. So I knew. Okay, great. So this is why you're really not really taking off this season, huh? Not very interesting answers. Okay, so yeah, all right, great. So you find out he's cheating, and then what went down? You went crazy. You went to his apartment. You tried to burn it down. You sent him angry texts. You screamed at him, tell me all the goss.
She's like, well, yeah.
I did to him what I did with the rest of America, Andy. I withheld my cookies. She tells us, as of late, I found out there were 11 women, Andy. He's like, whoa, that's one short of a Last Supper, am I right? 11 women. Wow, good for him.
Wow, that is the craziest thing you've ever revealed on this show. Thanks for being here. We're going to move on and not have any follow-up questions about this crazy situation. Okay. I was like, wait, and then what?
Paige makes a joke. She's like, I don't want to say brothel, but that's a brothel. Am I right, Lindsay? And then... here's what I got wrong. Here's one of the things I got wrong last week when I was like, what? I don't remember. Well, I didn't get it wrong because I said I didn't remember, which I didn't. But it was, when were they shaming Lindsay about the miscarriage? Okay, it's, and readers, I don't write. Listeners told me, they corrected me, that it was when Lindsay got her miscarriage and Paige was saying, this place is like a brothel with men in and out of here. And Andy said something, or somebody said something like, why is it okay for everybody else and not Lindsay? And she said, because they didn't just have a miscarriage. I was like, ugh. So here she is bringing up this brothel thing again. Like, it's hilarious, right? Hmm. And then Maya's like, yeah, Lindsay, we're going to take a brothel away from you and give it to Oliver. And Lindsay's like,
yeah, Paige, take it back. It's not me. It's Oliver. Oh, my God. Look, we're all girlfriends now. Look.
And they're like, we're not talking to you, Lindsay.
Quiet. Speak to the flower. So then Andy's like, okay, well, even though Maya just said something crazy, Sierra, did she ever tell you what was going on? And Sierra's like, yeah. And then he's like, okay. And Danielle, are you still friends with Oliver? I'm going to ask everyone questions about this Oliver situation except for Maya. Danielle? And she's like, no. And I cursed the day he was born. Okay, still overdramatic about every single thing. Got it.
So they ask about, she's asked about her love life, and she's like, I'm dating Sierra. And they're like, yeah, we're both single, so we're like fully committed to each other. And God, this is really boring. Like, I can't, they turn like, to Maya and Sierra and Chris and Sam and Corey, and the show just like, it
this
deflates.
Is the most salacious
it's like the
thing.
Day after Christmas when Frosty the Snowman, you know, those big air Frosty the Snowman from Home Depot are just deflated all over lawns and bushes, you know, just like a sheet of Frosty.
How did they turn Oliver secretly sleeping with 11 different women over the course of a year while dating Maya? How did they turn that into a boring segment? How, like, that's impossible, but they did it.
I know. It's actually the juiciest thing to happen on the show all season.
It
but
is. But no it just gets it. Like, whatever. So Andy's like, okay, well, Maya's relationship wasn't the only one to come to an end.
Danielle, let's get into what happened with you and Robert. All right, so looking back at the summer, did you two feel like you were growing apart? Because he seemed totally over you.
It's like, no, actually, like, it felt like it was a totally normal relationship, Andy. I mean, I just wanted to spend more time with him. And then we see clips of fun-loving Robert just being like,
this is fun, driving
Garfield, more lasagna.
I saw normal. So then, Danielle was like, well, you know, I was unhappy and I wanted to work on this. But Robert's response was, no, I don't want to work on this. I want to go to Aspen and not work on this. I was like, that means that things were not good. That means it was
yeah.
bad. So Andy's like, Lindsay, you were best friends with Danielle during the almost 2 year plus relationship with Robert. Were you surprised when you heard that they'd broken up? And she was like, yes and no. I was surprised because, like, I thought they would always work through any conflict they might have, but I wasn't surprised in the very end because she was dating a chef. And Andy's like, all right, and I will not go ask Maya what it's like to date a chef, even though she dated a chef right here from Bravo Kwame. That's how boring you are today, Maya.
Literally the only thing Maya likes bringing up on this show. The only thing she doesn't want to hide from the cameras is that she dated Kwame.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Andy's Jeez. Like, so Danielle, do you feel like you were projecting your relationship issues with Dave from Garfield onto Lindsay and Carl? And she's like, no, I would never do that, Andy. My relationship has nothing to do with me not wanting my best friend to have the happiest relationship. And Andy's like, do you believe that, Lindsay? And she goes, listen, I spent a lot of the summer and I fell into like a deep dive into what went wrong. And like projection was a part of that for me. It was. I mean, come on, Danielle. And Danielle's like, why would you even say that?
But by the way, Danielle, projecting is not often a conscious thing you do. She's like, I would never do that to a friend. It's like, that's not, you don't really control that. That's the whole point. That's why people say you're projecting, because it's like, oh, it's highlighting, it's giving you awareness of why you're having a certain emotional reaction. It's not like you say, hey, I want to say this to her because I'm feeling it too. So it like kind of shows a total lack of self-awareness because she was clearly projecting.
Well, they're trying to actually have a decent conversation here, but no one will let them. The people on this show need them fighting so badly, and they love that they made it happen. And this scene, this is where it starts making me crazy, because Kyle and his side of the couch will just not let a makeup happen, right? So she's like, well, Danielle, I thought that you were afraid you were going to lose your friend. That's what it looks like to me. And Kyle's like, that has nothing to do with Robert. Can I just say something? Can I just... No, shut the fuck up,
yeah,
mullet.
Don't say
okay?
anything.
This isn't your relationship. You hate everybody talking about your relationship, your terrible fucking relationship, so just shut up and let other people talk. So Kyle's like, both you and Carl in your confessional said the reason she thinks we're moving too fast is because of her relationship with Robert. You both said it. And Carl's like, oh, you know what, my dad. And so Kyle's like, yeah, so you know what, I genuinely didn't see red flags. And Carl's like, yeah, I was, oh no, Kyle says this, right? He's like, I was curious, so I called up Robert because we were like talking business. And so I asked like, hey, how was last summer? And he was like, fine. And I was like, you know, like, were there problems in your relationship? And he was like, well, we had speed bumps, but, you know, the three amigos had nothing to do with my relationship with Danielle. And so you both need to know that because you both said that it was like,
what are you doing
nosing into other people's fucking relationship and going to someone's ex-boyfriend, which, by the way, Danielle gets really upset about when Carl does it in a couple of minutes, mm-hmm. but it's totally fine with Kyle doing it.
Yeah, they're all, and I just don't think they, any of them understand what projecting is. Actually, only Lindsay seems to be the only one who understands it. I mean, obviously, Danielle's relationship is going down the shitter. She was feeling a certain sort of way. It's not that she wanted to drag Lindsay and Carl down because she was jealous of them. It's that she was, you know, she was feeling a certain sort of way. I think maybe they keep on bringing up the fact that, like, well, Danielle moved in with Robert really quickly. How about that? And I'm like, yeah, and look what happened there, everyone. Maybe that's why she's having this reaction, everyone.
I think she was friends with a couple, and the couple became a couple, and then she felt left out of the couple.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear, you know, like whether that is her fault or their fault or whoever's fault it is, like it's clear that she felt left out.
Right. But I feel that's 100% correct. But I think that the degree of her reaction was somewhat informed by what was going on in her relationship. Like, I don't know if she would have felt as left out if things were not going south with Robert. I think she was feeling a sort of a lack of love from two different areas, from both sides there. Like, well, I'm not a priority in Robert's life. And now all of a sudden I'm not a priority in Lindsay's life. And probably her frustrations of not being a priority in Robert's life were then probably amplified and going towards Lindsay. So I think it's all of the above.
Well, Kyle just thinks he made this huge point. It's like, you both need to know that because, like, you both said in confessionals and you were wrong because I talked to her. By the way, the business I have with Robert never really explained. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, did the chef get the lover boy into the whatever? So Lindsay's like, yeah, well, Carl met up with him too. And they're like, oh, now Danielle's mad. She's like, how dare someone speak to my ex? And Carl's like, yeah, like he said a similar thing to me too, you know, which was really cool. And he was like, does Loverboy Spritz pair with filet mignon, you know? And that was the next question, you know? He's like, I didn't pair with Danielle, but will Loverboy tea pair with ceviche? Okay, what a nut. Sorry, I can't believe I called someone a nut. That's terribly offensive. So Danielle's really annoyed. And Carl's like, yeah, he wanted to reach out and talk about the end of the summer because he felt bad about being a fucking dick to me at that party.
Yeah.
And I felt bad, too, when I walked out into the trash alley and had a temper tantrum about it. So I care about Robert, and I'm sorry to hear it didn't work out.
And he's like, did you reach out to Danielle after they broke up? Because, oh, I did not reach out to Danielle. No, that's my final answer. Danielle's like, yeah, oh, but you were happy to have a conversation with my ex-boyfriend. And Carl's like, well, he reached out to me like last week and I got together with him because he was like, hey, if you meet up with me, there's a free pair of white jeans in it for you. And I was like, oh, cool, I'll do it. So then Andy's like, so
well, did no, you- this is why the fuck shouldn't he reach out? You were the one who said you guys are, this friendship is done. We are done. We are through. I hope you're happy. And went to everybody at the engagement party, shit talking them, and then stormed out and said you were done and this was all over. Why the fuck would they call you? I don't call people who break up with me over them breaking up with other people. You broke up with me first. You don't get my call. Sorry.
Yeah, in this case, Robert reached out to Carl. I don't think it wasn't that Carl reached out to Robert, although it probably would have been nice for them to send a text, be like, sorry to hear about you and Robert. I don't know. But they were also, when that breakup happened, they were also still really angry. I mean, I do think that Danielle's behavior at that engagement party was unforgivable. I think that, like, she really made an ass of herself. And she did ruin a moment for these two people. Even if everything about the engagement felt superficial and felt made for TV and felt like it was advancing, you know, Carl and Lindsay as, like, America's sweetheart, that image they're trying to cultivate. And even if Danielle perceived it as a slight, she made an ass of herself and she did ruin it for them. And at the end of the day, it still is their engagement and still is their engagement party. And she did stain that forever for them. So I can understand why they'd be mad. I am actually kind of with you.
You've stained this forever.
You
have stained this forever.
As opposed to everything this reality show has also stained.
The show that features the most white pants out of any other show on Bravo. Talk about stains. Can't talk about stains.
Sponsored so by like, Tide Stack. Okay, oh, this Tide Stain Stack.
And Lindsay has a really good answer, too, because Andy asked if Lindsay reached out to Danielle after they broke up, and she goes,
it wasn't confirmed, to be honest, and, like, then you were in, like, Aspen, and so I figured you might be possibly working out, so I just wasn't really sure, and do you just want to roll the footage of my engagement party again, and you can get your answer from that, because that would be a lot easier?
And Danielle goes, nor did you care. Why the fuck would she care? Why the fuck would she? You basically both ended the season like you're dead to me. So Andy's like, well, did the other housemates reach out? And Danielle goes, every single one. And Andy goes, except Lindsay and Carl. You called her an evil, heartless monster and said your relationship was over. I don't get why everybody is trying to rewrite history here. And Carl's like, well, it was a tough spot. You know, like, sorry to reach out, but, you know, I didn't reach out. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, except I didn't do it. And Lindsay's like, yeah, and, like, you could have said, like, Lindsay, I need you.
I get bothered that you think I was going through something as the reason why I wanted you to be in the friendship with me. Like, oh, I have to be going something through something. Like, I had realized over the summer that our friendship was incredibly one-sided. Well, congratulations, Danielle. Welcome to 6 years ago for the rest of us.
I know. And Paige, like, makes a gasp smile face. She's like,
great. That was wonderful. That was amazing. That's my favorite song. Sing
it
again. Oh, my
God. I'm going to text everyone. Oh, shit, I don't have my phone. God, I hate this reunion.
Paige is like the soccer mom of fucking with other people's relationships. She's like, oh, my God. I trained her so well. You go.
You're doing great, honey. Tell her, honey.
Paige is going to hand out orange slices afterwards.
You had the saddest soccer team I've literally ever heard of, by the way. Whenever we talk about soccer teams and you bring up orange slices, I always am like, poor Ben. I just wish I could go back in time and help you.
I had a very cool soccer team that I quit.
Like it.
I quit to watch the Smurfs. I was like, I always tell the story. I could have been a jock, okay? At that formative, like, that, like, intersection when I was young, I was doing soccer on Saturday mornings. If I had stuck with it, I could have been a jock. But instead, I quit it so I could watch the Smurfs. And furthermore, one of my soccer teammates was Nick Gramatica, son of Lou Gramm, lead singer of Foreigner. If I stuck with it, I could have been like, I could have basically been a member of Foreigner, guys.
Pretty much.
I could have been in with the Ronsons because all those Ronson kids, Mark Ronson, all them, their dad was in Foreigner too. Like I could have been doing songs with Bruno Mars. Do you see how like the sliding doors moment was affected by this amazing soccer team that I failed to take advantage of?
Yep, the sliding doors closed and Craig's jacket got caught and he was dragged down the entire subway platform and slammed into a wall like a cartoon character, which is why he can never move to New York. So
yeah, he still keeps buying big things of TNT. Exploding himself as he runs off of cliffs.
So then Andy, after break, they get a little break and Paige comes back like with gauze all over her, like the side of her face from falling asleep like 10 times during this reunion and bleeding. She's gonna be like Freddy Krueger by the end of this, just scar tissue. So Andy's like, all right, let's get into the biggest relationship shocker of the season, the Tres Amigos. And Shannon comes on stage. She's like, well, let me tell you something, I never did anything to either one of those bitches. I just gotta be me.
Shannon lightly broke the internet the other day when she posted a photo of her and David at the Quiet Woman. She goes, well, you never know who you'll run into at the Quiet Woman. I'm like, actually, you know exactly you're gonna run into, because it's the same people who go there every single week. But like, still kind of shocking to see such a happy photo of the two of them.
One of the most disturbing places ever, and of course an emotionally abusive husband is going to go to the Quiet Woman. The restaurant is filled with paintings of women with no mouths. Yeah. It's like the freakiest Lifetime movie shit I've ever seen in my life, that restaurant. Okay? It's disturbing. Stop going there.
Yeah, overpriced food too, I just want to say.
Good fish and chips though. Okay, so let's see. The Three Amigos, Tres Amigos or whatever. So when did it start to change? And Danielle's like, well, I think it's because I said that you guys were moving too fast to Paige. And then Danielle's like, yeah, I think they wanted to expedite being together, which is great. But as a friend, sometimes you're like, let's figure out a career. Let's figure out our finances. Let's make sure your sobriety is at the forefront. And
let's figure out some healthy boundaries, by the way, Danielle. You don't have to figure out any of that shit. Sorry.
Yeah, that's to move in together.
Well, I just feel like, okay, I just think that, like, Danielle takes on way too much responsibility as a best friend. I think she really thinks that she has to be way more involved in all these things. I think it's one thing to say, you guys are going a little too fast. Why don't you, like, maybe you should take some baby steps considering that Carl is new in his sobriety. But when she's like, as a best friend, I have to say things like, why don't you figure out your career? Why don't you figure out your finances? It's like, you know what? You say that stuff once, and if they say they don't care, then you just drop it and you move on as best friends.
Well, we get to what the real problem is, which wasn't any of that, I don't think. So basically, he's like, well, why don't you just, those are reasonable, so why don't you guys just talk them out? And Lindsay's like, well, I didn't, it's clear now because she's saying it, but I didn't know that over the summer. And she didn't know that because Danielle wasn't telling her that. She was telling other people that, right? So Danielle says, yeah, because all you heard is me being critical of your relationship, and I was already discarded from the jump. And honestly, Lindsay, like, that was the real problem here. It was it that I said you were moving too fast, or was it that I got that, you got that information from Paige, who you don't like and you know doesn't like you? Well, yeah, that is the problem. You went to Paige. You gave Paige ammo. The second that Paige had ammo, and Lindsay was being nice to her at some party, Paige used it against Lindsay to be a dick and cause problems in your relationship. And they show the clip of it and no one cares still. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. I mean, that being said, I do think that Danielle takes on too much as a best friend. Like, she really, I think she feels a way too large of a sense of obligation of organizing shit for people. But I do think that, and yes, okay, fine. She shouldn't have vented to Paige. Fine. She shouldn't have vented to Paige. But, like, I also don't think that Lindsay should have thrown out this entire relationship just because she vented to Paige once, you know? In case anyone feels like relitigating this argument for, like,
but it wasn't once. It wasn't to Paige once. It was literally to everybody. And when then after Paige used it and they started talking about it, Danielle continued to go to everybody and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. You're going to people who hate your best friend, which is definitely showing, like, and we've talked about this a million times, but because it's a reunion, we have to talk about it again. I think that by going to your best friend's enemies and girls you know don't have her best interests at heart and talking shit about her to become better friends with them is shit behavior, and I wouldn't be friends with you either. Like, that's not a best friend. Your best friend wouldn't do that to you. So you're dead to me. You're dead.
I actually don't feel like
as a friend.
I actually feel like Andy Cohen summarized this entire thing, like, really, really well later on. So I'm not even going to bother going down the path again, because at the end of the day, I'm just, whatever Andy says at the end of this episode is, like, I think pretty accurate to what happened.
Well, he basically, we see the clips of stuff, and then Danielle's like, by the way, Paige, that was messy as hell. Do not ever throw me under the bus like that again. And Paige is like, ha ha.
She's one of my best work.
Thank you.
Paige is like, yeah, it was great work. Thank you so much. Lindsay's like, so Lindsay's saying, like, yeah, no, I heard everything from everybody else. And Danielle's like, but it's those girls especially, because if I had said that to Sam or to Gabby, you would not have had that same reaction. And Lindsay's like,
yes, Danielle, that's the point, you dummy. Why are you acting like that's completely unreasonable? She's not admitting that that's unreasonable at all, which is making me crazy. She's like, oh, you're just mad because it was Paige. Yeah.
So Danielle's like, I'm just trying to have a relationship with everyone, open relationship with everyone, and my responsibility is not always to have the same enemies as you do.
Except not having the same enemies, you were talking shit to her enemies. She's not saying you have to be enemies with them. She had no problem with you being friendly with them. She was fine with you being friendly with them. It's you talking shit about her to them.
I actually don't think she was fine with her being friends with them, because I do think that Danielle is the sidekick. She's not the best friend. She's the sidekick. And so as a sidekick, you do have to have the same enemies. And I think that was a fundamental mistake that she made, was trying to be friends with other people outside of,
well, maybe Lindsay wasn't fine with it. We know from Lindsay's personality that most likely she wasn't fine with it, and this would have manifested in some way down the line. But Lindsay hadn't said anything to her when she saw her talking to the girls. She didn't say, don't hang out with those bitches or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, I think Danielle, the reason why she's so angry is the slow dawning that she is a sidekick. And that's what this was. That's what all of this is coming down to for Danielle, is the realization that this was not a best friend situation. This was a sidekick and the dominant one. Sidekick and alpha. So Paige is like, Danielle is, like, never allowed to be friends with us. And then she, like, became friends with us. And, like, that is the problem. So, by the way, Danielle, I just want you to know, I got you a flower for your neck. It's really small. It's basically a dandelion. It's a weed. But I'm not saying you're a sidekick to us, but I did get you a T-Mobile Sidekick, which is neither here nor there.
But nobody cared until you purposely went to Lindsay and threw Danielle under the bus to create the problem. You brat. Okay. She's like, yeah, that was the problem. You started the problem, Paige. They literally just showed the clip. So Andy's like, okay, let me ask you this. You were very offended. She said you were moving too fast. Why were you upset? And she's like, she moved in with her boyfriend after 2 months, so that was hypocritical. And B, I've known him 7 years, and we've been through so much together. And C, I got the taco contract. I got it.
And Danielle's like, and then who do you think you were talking to when you say that? I've been through every single thing with you. I'm like, well, it's not like Lindsay's getting engaged to you, Danielle. I mean, the logic doesn't really make sense. So Lindsay goes, oh yeah, like what do you think was gonna happen? I'm just gonna like move out? Like we just moved in together. I was gonna be like, oh, Danielle thinks we're moving too fast. I'm just gonna move out now. Sorry, girl.
And Gabby goes, I think the issue is, Danielle, that she didn't hear it, like, directly from you. And she goes, yeah, correct. And Lindsay goes,
how many more ways can I say that same thing, Gabby? I mean, come on, Gabby.
I was like, wow, don't snap at Gabby. Jeez. Like, Gabby's just trying to help. Gabby needs to say something, okay? They're not asking Gabby about tennis. She's got to say something in this reunion.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Batman from Returns says, were you really upset with Danielle? What, that Danielle wasn't playing the role of your supportive best friend anymore and instead talking to the ops? I felt like you were just pissed off that Danielle had main character energy and you lost your little soldier. So Paige is cracking up like, ops, that's so funny. I love when people use new slang and it doesn't take off but tries to make it happen in a reunion. That's like classic.
Can I just point out again, that side of the couch is so miserable. They just show a shot of that whole side of the couch and they're all like, it's almost like the lazy version of the musical Chicago. You know how Chicago opens and it's all the ladies in jail and they're like in different poses? You know, it's like one's like this and one's like this against the bar. Except this, they're in just various poses of lying down. You know, like one's like draped over the couch like this and one's draped like this. And the other one's slouched back, just not letting her head go down so she doesn't decapitate herself on a fake flower.
Yeah, on the optics, that's how the couch is really doing a bad job, I have to say. So Lindsay is like, she's like, well, it wasn't a role we played with each other. Like, it was a multi-season, multi-year best friendship. It was like not a role. It was like a 6-season contract to be best friends. And then it expired. You know, it's like a lease. Sometimes like buildings just have leases and businesses close down on them. And Danielle's lease was up. Okay.
So Andy asks, you know, like, come on, guys, don't you know why Danielle felt left out, Carl? I mean, you told all those people flying in, you told all the guys, Chris and Corey knew. Amanda's like, Wesley Stripes even knew, guy. Andy's like, it seems huge that Danielle's like the only person you didn't tell. And he's like, well, I promise I wasn't trying to hurt you. He's like, but clearly it was a decision you made, Carl. And he's like, well, Kyle was the only one.
And Chris, and everyone who flew in. And Lindsay's like, that's a lot of people that he told Andy. He goes, that's my point. Thanks. Paige is like, yeah, that's what he's saying. Stupid.
It's like a lot of people do, except Danielle. And Andy's like, yeah, that's everyone but her. And Lindsay's like, yeah, but he like told everyone but the girls in the house. And Andy's like, so you don't trust Danielle? And Carl's like, well, I didn't trust any of the girls in the house. And Andy's like, is Danielle any of the girls in the house? She's one of the Trace Amigas.
She's aligned with the other girls in the house now. That's it. Those girls don't like Lindsay. She doesn't like them. And Danielle has proven that she is now aligned with those girls. Why in the world would he tell? Lindsay would have killed him if Danielle ruined this. Or Danielle came to say, listen, he's going to propose and I don't think it's time for you to do this. Or whatever. Anything's a possibility.
Danielle, I think that's definitely a conversation Danielle would have had with Lindsay, by the way.
Yeah, when has Danielle not totally gone to somebody that immediately? You know what I mean? And tattletaled. Like, Danielle has always been a little tattler.
Yeah. I think that she would say, I'm just saying, I feel like an engagement's coming up and I just don't think you should do it. She would have done it in a way where she could say, I didn't say anything.
Yeah, she would have been like, there are big steps that are about to be taken, and I'm just not really sure that you should be taking those steps just yet. And I just want you to know that you can say no. There's no pressure to say yes when these steps arrive.
But that being said, he did tell Kyle, and Kyle is also one of the biggest tattlers on the show, much larger than Danielle. So
that's true. But Kyle's also one of his legit best friends where I don't think Danielle is. Like, all the shit that Kyle has done to him, Kyle has still, and Carl said this when he was crying earlier about it, like, you know, Kyle did have to put up with him when he was an addict and doing all this stuff, and Kyle still did give him a job and like work through it with him, and he was like actually a really good friend to Carl. So I mean, as much as I disagree with a lot of that stuff, I could see how he wouldn't.
Listen, Danielle needs to watch more Survivor, because this is what always happens when the group makes a vote, decides to blindside someone, and there's always someone who's like, you could have told me. Why didn't you guys tell me? I would have voted along with you guys. And they're like, well, we just didn't think that you'd be able to keep it quiet.
Do I have to sign for that? Could you just leave it?
Can you just leave it? Do you have to sign for that? Can you just leave it? Ronnie's getting a package, guys.
My name is Rondell Karam.
Ronnie Karam. Could you just like leave the package, please? That'd be great.
Yeah, it's okay. Just leave it right there on the front. Thanks. I'm upstairs doing a live stream. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Love it. Hey, I just leave my package right here. Is that okay?
So sorry, you guys, but it's like from Apple, and it's like a big thing, and I didn't want to take it back because I've been waiting for it. So
it's kind of a big deal right now, and I just like didn't want to tell Danielle it was arriving, because just like I just didn't tell any of the girls that thing from Apple was arriving today.
I'm sorry, that was so unprofessional, but damn it, you can't plan when this shit's gonna happen, and now we're doing these all on video, so we can't just press stop.
We can't, it's fine. People get packages in life, okay? Everyone understands what happens. This is not the Oscars. We're allowed to get a package in the middle of the podcast. Everyone will survive.
Ben, thank you so much.
Unsubscribing. If you're unsubscribing because of this, then you're just as bad as Lindsay and Danielle right now in this fight.
Well, now we're on YouTube, so I can be like, hey, guys, this is the unpackaging I just got from Apple. Yeah. And it's a new VR headset called Vision, and I'm actually going to see what Lindsay's dream life is, being on People magazine every day without Danielle.
Wow, Lindsay's dream life, that's like literally a vision of love, and it was all that I meant it to be. Wow.
So anyway, my point is, Carl would forgive... Carl would tell Kyle, even though Kyle's a fuck up, because he considers him a real friend. Whereas I think Danielle was probably, you know, just.
I think Danielle is being faced with a lot of uncomfortable realities of her position in life and what people view of her. I don't think that she's realized this. I don't think that she's realized that people don't necessarily trust her with information, that she is a sidekick to Lindsay. I think this has all been like tough pills to swallow. Understandably, I actually would not take that away from her. I think it's really tough. I do think Lindsay was a shitty friend to her. But I think that Danielle has really fucked up too. And I think that Lindsay got the ball rolling, but Danielle, she just spiraled out of control, and it's rough. Rough
so Andy's kind of sticking up for like the Danielle side. He's like, I just don't get why you would just treat her like one of the girls and not tell the girls anything. I'm like, I don't understand that. And Lindsay's like, Andy, he told her he was ring shopping and she screamed into a pillow. And we see a clip of that. And Carl's like, yeah, I mean, when we were talking and I shared that I was ring shopping, like, did you go at that point like, hey, I'd love to help you plan or anything like that? Like, I would love to be a part of this or anything. And she's like, why? We were just trying. And he's like, no, hold on. That's a good point, Danielle. That is actually a very good point. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I would have no way of knowing that you were planning an engagement. The conversation was literally about ring shopping. What do you think it's for? You did know. Stop lying, you know? Mm-hmm. It's bad enough without you being a liar about it. Of course you knew. You were being an asshole, an unsupportive asshole about it. That's the whole point. Just cop to it.
Yeah. And he's basically like, yeah, like what I wanted for us, like, I just wanted to be a surprise. And I just like wasn't feeling uncomfortable to share it with the girls in the house. And like, I know you were looped into that. And like, you weren't looped into that. And I was like, it's like fucked up. But like, I did it because like, I did what was best for like a surprise for my engagement that I've been planning since June. When I found out officially I was coming back to the show, I needed to make a storyline for myself. I needed to plan it. I needed to arrange with People magazine. Like, I've been working really hard on this. Okay. Like, I've going to be shooting a commercial with Marshalls, I'm sure. And it's going to be December to Remember sales event for Lindsay and Carl
America's Sweetheart. So, like, I couldn't have you fuck any of that up, okay?
And she's like, well, I was just screaming into a pillow to get through to you. Like, I didn't have disdain for you shopping for a ring. Yes, you did. I was just frustrated with how we got to this point. Okay, fair enough. We had always had the best intentions with you in my heart. Do you not think in your heart of hearts I don't want you to be happy? No, you screamed into a pillow, and then at the engagement, you went pissed off talking to every single friend of hers that flew in about it. So why in the world would she think that you would be happy or that you were happy? You were giving no indication to anybody, including the cameras that were recording you for national television, that you were happy for them. So,
right. Well, I mean, I actually do think there's a subtle point here, which is that you can be happy for someone, but also think that people are going about something the wrong way. She might not. I don't think she was happy for the way they were doing it. I think she's happy that they're together, but she also thinks they were being foolish for running into it. And she was getting frustrated that they didn't seem to realize that they needed to, like, go slower, which is different than not being happier. But what she didn't realize is that you can say you're happy for someone, but by talking shit at that person's engagement party, you're going to take away their happiness. And so you can't say you want to be happy for someone by actively removing their happiness.
Well, and you can't question that someone would think that you're unhappy for them when you're walking around literally scowling and being happy for them at every turn. Doesn't make any sense.
If they're receiving reports from friends, oh my God, Danielle was talking so much shit about you, I would also think that she wasn't happy for me.
So now Carl's mad and he's like, look, I feel bad you weren't included, all right? Like, I felt uncomfortable, you know? I'm like, but I'm sorry. Like, there are plenty of girls who get engaged and the best girlfriend isn't included and they're still happy for their girlfriend. And Kyle's like, the difference is they weren't in the same house. Shut up, Kyle. Nobody's fucking talking to you, Kyle. And Danielle's like, and you don't think I can keep a secret? What am I, 5 years old? You have literally never kept one secret on this show. Never. What are you talking about? What show are these people watching? And so Lindsay's like, you acting 5 years old this season?
And Andy is like, well, did you really think she was going to tell? And Carl's like, I was in the hospital 2 days before I proposed, okay? I fainted at a Tim McGraw show, okay? I've got a lot in my brain, okay? I've been planning this since June. This is like my fucking engagement / storyline / endorsement deals, okay? I want to make it special, okay? And I'm sorry you weren't included.
Yeah, he's like yelling. He's like, not everyone is included in everyone's proposal, Danielle. And she's like, oh, so you don't give a shit about me? Is that what you're saying? And Lindsay's like, it has nothing to do with you. Yeah, it's not about you, Danielle. And he stands up and he's like, I wasn't going to be like, oh, I'm not going to tell Danielle so I can ruin our friendship. I mean, like, I feel badly, but this is me and her. And Maya makes a face like, oh my God, Carl's like crazy right
now. Carl's like standing up right now. Can you believe he stood up? So Andy's like, he's like, okay, her spinning out at the party to all of your friends aside, and that is a very big aside. Do you, Lindsay, do you understand, given your years of friendship, why she was so upset? She's like, no. Danielle's watching the engagement party. Okay, well, not going anywhere there. Danielle, watching the engagement party back. Would you change anything about your behavior? Because it was really mortifying on a network of really mortifying behavior by people.
Well, the way the whole couch is like, oh my God, Lindsay's answer. Oh, can you believe her? Oh my God, you guys. And Danielle's like, well, here's what I would have changed, Andy. I would have changed my outfit. I would have changed, like, my drink that I was drinking or, like, the amount of people that I had talked to, maybe. So we see a clip of her going to, like, literally everybody going, I didn't know a thing about this until, like, an hour ago. And she's like, maybe I would have just talked to one person instead of three people. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't malicious, Andy, okay? I was beside myself. I was hurt. And in my mind, I would have loved to be the person to organize it. And he's like, you would have liked to be involved. And guess what that's called? It's called consequences. Okay? So I hope you enjoyed those on your tear parade.
Yeah, I don't see Danielle. This is where she loses me because it's like, I know you would have loved to have organized it, but that's not owed to you. It's just not owed to you, okay? Like, sorry your ego got bruised here. It's just not. I understand why she feels hurt because her worldview is such that she interprets this in a really hurtful way. But it's time for her to readjust what she how she views the world.
And also, so, girlfriends aren't included in the engagement necessarily. They're included in the bridal shower and the party, you know, the bridesmaid stuff, like if you're going to be maid of honor or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, she's like, well, I was in the sidelines in the bushes. And Lindsay's like, well, it got back to me all week what you were saying to my friends. So can I say something? And then Danielle's like, well, in a million years, I wouldn't want you to think I was making your engagement party about me. Danielle, you literally made it about you to every guest that flew into the party. We saw you talking to like every best girlfriend of Lindsay. Like they just showed a clip of it. Like how is she still going on like none of this ever happened?
I hate the argument of like, I would never do that. You should know I would never do that. And I always think back all the way back to Kyle Richards saying that to Camille Grammer. Camille, I would never say that about you. You should know I would never say that about you. Like that, that's not a good argument. I feel like Danielle has legs to stand on in this separation from Lindsay, and she's choosing not to stand on those legs. She's just like flopping around in a puddle somewhere.
So Lindsay's like, but it's what happened. So I mean, you can say you wouldn't do it, but like you did do it.
And she goes, that's the
thing. If that's what you feel. And she goes, no, it's not what I feel, Danielle. It's what happened. Like, it's on camera. And Danielle's like, well, I'm super apologetic for that then, because I wanted you to have a happy engagement. You know, you know I would want you to be happy. Like, I mean, would I want to blow fireworks that I would have sourced myself? Absolutely.
She's trying to make a joke here. So it's like, okay, I accept your apology. So
I think she's being serious. I think she's... No, she's saying...
She's saying she still would have liked to have participated in the organization, but she's trying to be like a little lighthearted by saying it. So Andy's like, well, can you understand as her best friend why her feelings are hurt? And Lindsay's like, yes, because she's deluded and I feel bad for that. And of course I can understand, but I also want to be part of like my best friend's momentous milestones occasions just... And Andy goes, period. And she's like, sure. So
she's like, sure. Okay, take a period.
She's like, fine.
So he's like, all right, let me ask you. Watching back that final conversation, we see a clip of that. Danielle being a drama queen and trying to have this big confrontation, and Lindsay just being icy as hell, you know, and being calm, like, whatever, and like, you're dead to me kind of attitude. Well, Amanda is like guffawing on a bench on the side. Okay, so then we cut back. And Andy's like, do you regret anything, Danielle? And Danielle's like, no. And he asks Lindsay the same. And she's like, no, I don't think Danielle and I regret anything in those moments that we have. And when she says that, Amanda and Paige are like, oh my God. They give each other shocked faces like, can you believe Lindsay doesn't regret a thing? Well, it's okay for Danielle to say she's a monster and break up with her, but it's not okay for Lindsay to stay calm and walk away. That side of the couch needs to just nap time. Just take it.
I think that's what they actually want.
Yeah.
They literally want that. So Danielle's like, so you don't regret. And I was less upset about the couch. I was more upset with Danielle's reaction because Andy, like you said, Andy asked Danielle if she has any regrets. She goes, no. And Lindsay, do you have any regrets? No. And then Danielle's like, so you don't regret anything you said in that moment? I'm like, Danielle, you just said you don't regret anything either. Why are you getting all crazy right now?
And Lindsay's like, no, Danielle, that's how I felt in that moment. And she said, well, you said in my face that we'd never been friends, which no, she didn't. That wasn't what she said.
And then Kyle goes, listen, that last conversation, like you were the coldest, emotionless person I have ever seen. I'm like, so is it because she's a woman? She's like not allowed to be cold and emotionless. She's not allowed to be stoic in that moment because she's a woman. I know he wasn't saying that, but to me, that was a big subtext there.
I didn't. For me, it was just like huge hypocrisy. I mean, what this guy did all season was fucking horrible. Not just to Carl, but to Lindsay too. Screaming at Lindsay and going on that whole thing about she's such an asshole. That whole thing that he did that night where he was wasted and had a fit and blamed everything in his and Carl's relationship on Lindsay and called her a fucking bitch and all this other stuff. And then to be like, you are the coldest, most emotionless person I've ever seen. Fuck you. You don't get to say that. Like, you don't have the legs this season to be throwing stones.
Yeah, I think Lindsay's actually allowed to be cold and emotionless. I mean, it was cold and emotionless, but like, why does
she... Don't be throwing duck tails in a mullet house, you little fuck. Okay? Sit down and shut up.
Like, Danielle just destroyed her engagement party, and she just spent a week hearing from friends about all the shit that Danielle was saying. She's over it. She's already processed it, so she's not upset. Whereas Danielle has got this pent-up emotion and hasn't been able to confront Lindsay. Lindsay's just like, fuck her. I'm over it. I think that she was fine to react the way she did. I thought it was actually, it was cold and it was hilarious. Kyle's like, all she said was that you're rushing things. And Lindsay's like, well, how can you possibly bridge a gap when you have no intention to see my perspective? I'd had enough. And Kyle's like, what had she done to you that was so bad?
Danielle makes this face. I was like, Danielle, you need to like save those faces for when something bad has really been said. Because this whole episode, I haven't even mentioned it, but Danielle, everything that they say on that side of the couch, Danielle goes, all she said was, you need to see my perspective too. Danielle's like, home alone, you know?
So Lindsay's basically like, did you see my engagement? And she's like, by the time the conversation had come, and I was also like hurt by things that I heard that she had said about me and like Carl and our relationships the entire summer, like that when I'm hurt, I just like shut down after like so many things. And Kyle's like, yeah, but her point is that you discarded the relationship. And she's like, yeah, by that point, yes. It's like, it was cold, like so hard to watch as friends of you guys who often blame you for anything that goes wrong in the house.
And Lindsay's like, but she had no regrets for making our entire relationship about her. And then Carl and Andy both yell at her, she apologized. And Carl's covering his face. And Danielle's jaw's on the floor again, like, and so Andy's yelling. He's like, she said her feelings were hurt. She apologized for hurting your feelings. Oh, my corpse.
No, she apologized for hurting. Talked to too many people. And Andy's like, no. And then she apologized for her behavior. And Sierra's like, well, perhaps you didn't hear her because you weren't trying to hear her. And Lindsay's like, well, perhaps I didn't hear her because I'm still hurt.
And she's like, this is your best friend, Lindsay. And she goes, oh, God, like, you care, Sierra. Why would you fucking care? And she's like, honestly, I don't give a fuck about you, but I care about Danielle. And Lindsay says, well, at least you're admitting it. And Sierra goes, well, at least someone will, because you won't, bitch. Mm-hmm. What does that even mean?
My God.
They're ridiculous. Although I do appreciate Sierra attempting something in 2 hours. That was, you know, good job there. So then we go into, we're still here. Andy gets sick of talking about it, and then he starts yelling and, like, starts crying. But he keeps bringing up the same thing over and over again. He's like, so, do you think Danielle has bad intentions for you and Carl? And Lindsay says, no. Do you think she supports your relationship? I don't know. And he's like, but after all she said. And then Danielle and Amanda do their,
Carl's like, aw. I think she supports us based on what I'm hearing.
Babe, I didn't tell you to say that.
Oh, sorry. Everyone take that back. Strike that from the record, please. Sorry.
So Lindsay's like, I'm still trying to figure out what the deep-rooted issue is. And Gabby's like, I think you're trying to separate how she feels with you guys and how she feels with you separately. And Andy's like, well, the issues that she felt about the two of you are what led to you two completely not communicating and going off to the corners and hearing things from other people, and it became a huge game of telephone, and people you don't like were involved, which clouded your head, Lindsay, and made it seem a lot more conspiratorial than she meant it to be. She is saying she wasn't trying to go behind your back to or gather your enemies. She had genuine concerns about your relationship, which you heard tonight. This is not as dire or crazy as it seems to be from where I'm sitting.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
But I think he's right.
Shut though. Up.
I think he's like right. I think that's a good summation of it.
That was a full-on monologue from Andy. Since when do you need to explain things to dodo birds? We don't need them to really understand what they're doing. What are you trying to cancel the show? Just cancel it then, okay? We don't want people to understand what they're doing wrong. Then they stop doing them. And then what are we left with? Sam talking about fucking Corey. 20 times, you know?
Which we did.
Let him stay wrong.
So Andy's like, he's like, well, then he excluded her from the engagement, which blew her mind.
Oh, sorry.
And hurt her feelings. No. It was like a break. It was like a pause in the monologue. It really was. It's like, it blew her mind and hurt her feelings in a way that she didn't even expect and caused her to spiral out of your engagement and somewhat ruin it for you in a way that she never intended, for which she has apologized tonight. So it has snowballed through things that are way beyond two women actually who have actually loved each other and cared each other for a long time, and the reason y'all are fighting so hard, I think, is because you care about each other and have cared for so long. Is everything I've said correct?
They're like,
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I'm bored. That's too much. That's too much from Andy. You're the umpire. You know what? No, not the umpire. You're the referee. Okay. No one wants a monologue from the referee. Like, what's the referee's name? Nobody even really knows. Okay. You're the most famous referee there is, but I don't need a monologue from you. FF. So then Danielle's like, oh, but I want to reiterate that, like, my issue hasn't been with you guys as a couple. I mean, which isn't true. That's just not true. But I want your happiness, and I just want our friendship to go back to, like, or at least start something new to figure us out, because that's been missing, guys. And she cries, and Lindsay's just kind of watching her. And she's like, I mean, come on, Lindsay, you can't say you don't miss me. And Lindsay's like, well, no one really picked up my dry cleaning like you did. And we got off track, but our bond is very special. And I'm really hopeful that we can find a version of that after this, because it really is hard actually having to go down the elevator to the doorman to pick up my Uber Eats instead of you doing it for me. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, wow, that counts, Lindsay. That counts. Everyone's like, wow, that was really heartfelt.
So Andy asks Kyle, he's like, you're the ringleader of the group. What do you think? Do you think there's a path forward? And he's like, I'm optimistic. And, you know, I don't think you throw away this thing because people can't get along. I just want people to party over the summer. Can we just party, please? And so they're like, okay.
You're the one starting this shit. What are you talking about? You started half the fights this season.
So now it's time to do shots. And they bring out shots. And Andy's like, we got shots for everyone. Carl, we got you water. I'm like, could you give him some Sprite or something? Could you help the guy out? Just because he's sober doesn't mean you just got to give him the saddest thing.
Andy does not approve of sobriety. He's like total anti-sobriety. He's like, well, Kyle's refusing to drink alcohol, so we got him a shot glass full of sand. All right, let's all watch him do it. Okay. Enjoy that, Carl.
So Kyle gives a toast. He's like, through thick and thin, this group figures it out and always finds a good way to have a good time. And let's just send it together. And if you can't figure it out, well, you'll probably won't be invited back to the house. Okay, bye.
And that's it. That brings us to the end of this season of Summer Housing.
Well, there was an optimistic note at the end later that night. And Carl texts Andy. Oh, really? Yeah. He goes, Carl texts Andy, and he's like, hey, Andy, here's a photo of everyone at the table, and just want to share a life update. Got Lindsay and Danielle at dinner. Yeah, we'll keep helping things along. What a day. Thank you again for your guidance and support. I appreciate all you do.
And it was basically just like a picture of like Lindsay and Danielle, but they weren't sitting next to each other. I forget who was in between them, but they were at a table at dinner. So I guess they were talking at dinner, so...
Well, there you go. There might be hope for this old show after all, guys.
Yeah, guys. That friendship that actually no one ever cared about, but for some reason we all took sides on, might have hope in the future.
Yeah. Well, everybody, hope you've enjoyed being triggered with us all season long. Yeah. It's been a great one.
Yeah. Okay. And in case I haven't triggered anyone today, I just want to end by saying... still Team Paige.
Oh, yes. I snuck that one in, everyone.
All right. Well, come yell at us in the comments for your last chance this season on this show. But no, seriously, thank you, everybody, for being with us during this show. It's really, I feel like we come to the end of seasons and sometimes we're just like, okay, that's over. What's next? But this is the end of our 7th season of Summer House. This is like a big deal for us and our friendship.
I feel that way.
Our friendship with you, audience. So thank you so much for being with us. We love you guys. Thanks for the new people on YouTube, the old people on the podcast apps, wherever you are. Thank you for letting us live this life that we live. We couldn't live it, obviously, without your support. So thank you for being here with us. And we'll see you next time, guys. Bye. Forgive you, and we hope that you forgive us.
Okay? I'm just happy that Summer House is still in the air and that people care about it this much, because there was a time when people thought we were crazy for caring this much, but now we all care.
Yeah,
thanks, guys. Everyone. Have a great one.
We love you. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.